We're going to begin reading in verse number 4, Philippians chapter number 4, and verse number 4. I couldn't help as I read this again this morning to think how many Christians have at times when they needed some kind of a spiritual boost have gone to Philippians chapter 4, read what we're going to read this morning, and been helped. And I pray that that same thing happens this morning corporately here amongst us. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, as we take this portion of Scripture, and Lord, as we focus in on what you have led me to prepare today, I pray, Lord, it'll be just what the people need. Now, God, I can't do this by myself. I need your help. Please, Lord, I ask that you empower me. I pray that you would give me, Lord, clarity of mind and thought. Help me, Lord, to have the heart, compassion of Christ. And I pray, Lord, that you would take the word of God and fasten it to the hearts of these your children. If there be someone in the midst of us that's not saved, I pray that today would be the day of their salvation. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Nikki, it's good to see you. Are we still going to baptize you this morning? So we can look forward to that directly after the service. We'll have our baptismal service. And I was looking out and praising the Lord and thinking about what a blessing that's going to be later on. Philippians chapter 4, we read some astounding verses, but I think that they all build up to verse number 13, where Paul makes an amazing and astounding statement, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Most of you know this, some of you probably do not, but this has been for many years my mother's life verse. And during most of the time that she was a pastor's wife, this was her life verse. And I've said this before, but the wonderful thing about church people and their kindness is that a lot of times when they find out a preacher's wife has a favorite anything, a lot of times they're conscious about searching out and finding those things and then purchasing those type of things for her. And because of that, our house was filled with little knickknacks and little signs and all kinds of things that had Philippians 4:13 on them. I mean, in the living room, Philippians 4:13. In the kitchen, Philippians 4:13. In the dining room, Philippians 4:13. In the bathroom, Philippians 4:13. Amen. And it seemed like no matter where I would go in my house, I would be reminded, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Can I say this? I want to thank God right now that I grew up surrounded by this verse. I mean that. Somewhere along the line, through the preaching and teaching of the Bible and through the reinforcement of what I saw in my home, I just developed this belief that I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Some people would call that cockiness, but they misunderstand what it truly is. I like to say there's a quiet confidence that Christians possess who have a strong faith and trust in God Almighty. There is a quiet confidence. See, I just kind of grew up with this belief that if we were supposed to do it, we could do it. And if God challenged us to do something, no matter how impossible it might look, with him, it was very much possible. Can I say that? That's a great way to grow up. That's a great attitude to develop in your Christian life. I'm going to borrow something that I put up probably 10 years ago on the bulletin board down in the main learning center for the title of this morning's message, but I'm going to preach on this subject: success comes in a can. Success comes in a can. And what I mean by that is, do you know what? I think that this verse is one of those biblical success verses. It tells us how we can be successful in our Christian life. Success comes in a can. Now, that doesn't mean you go down to the grocery store and you buy a can of success and you get your can opener and you open it up and you pour it out, and then, you know, we wish it was that easy. But the honest truth is, it's not as hard as sometimes we want to make it. When I say that success comes in a can, what I'm saying is it comes in an I can. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And we're going to take Philippians 4:13 and some of the surrounding verses, and we're going to dissect them this morning. We're going to put a spotlight on them. We're going to stick them under the microscope, a spiritual microscope, and we're going to examine exactly what the Bible's saying when it's teaching us that we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. I'd like to have some Christians that came in here and you were dragging a little bit when you came in. I'd like to have you walk out with your shoulders square. I'd like for some of you that's decided that you can't to redecide again that you can. I'd like to maybe help some brother that honestly, you've just been beaten up and beaten down by the devil and the world all week long, and you wonder if you can honestly do what God's asked you to do. Well, I'm here, I guess, as that voice that God sent to a pulpit to tell you, yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can. Now listen, don't let the devil talk you out of the right attitude. Don't let the devil beat you down. We have something powerful here before us, and I think every once in a while, each and every one of us need to hear a little bit about Philippians 4:13. Let me give you several things. Success comes in a can. Number one, success requires a positive attitude. Now stay with me, because we're going to break this verse down a step at a time, and we're going to fully define and I think fully give you full exhortation concerning all that this verse says. But let me just break it down a step at a time. Number one, success requires a positive attitude. The first two words in this verse is I can. I can. Now, by the way, this might surprise you a little bit because of the circumstances that Paul finds himself in. Say, Brother Jerry, was he at the height of success of his ministry when he stands up and proclaims, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me? No, he's in jail. He's in jail. Matter of fact, if you'll notice in verse number 11, he says this, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And after making those statements, then he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You see, folks, what we need to learn to develop is this. Think about this. We need to learn to develop a positive attitude in our present circumstance. A positive attitude in our present circumstance. And so many people believe that, you know what, Brother Jerry, I could have a positive attitude if I could change my circumstance. Matter of fact, my circumstance is the reason that I cannot have a positive attitude. Well, you're going to have to go talk to Brother Paul about that. Because Brother Paul said, you know what? I know what it is to be full, and I know what it is to be hungry. I know what it is to abound. I know what it is to suffer need. I know what it is to be abased, and I know what it is to abound. And what he was saying is this, listen, you can't let circumstances dictate whether or not you have the right attitude in life. You need to have the right attitude despite your present circumstance, in your present circumstance, and not use circumstance as an excuse not to have a positive attitude. I believe this. I think Christians ought to be the most positive people in the world. I mean, my goodness sakes, we've got so much going for us, but a lot of times we think in our minds that if our circumstances was different, our attitude would be different. But I just don't believe that. What I found is this. Successful people, and I'm talking about success in the right sense of the word. I'm talking about biblical success, what God says is success. A successful life is successful not because of perfect circumstances, but oftentimes despite less than ideal circumstances. And it seems like we're always wanting what we don't have. Am I the only one afflicted with that from time to time? I read this poem. I thought, my goodness sakes, what an incredible message. Listen to me, young people. Listen to this poem. It starts out, it's called present, the title of it's called Present Tense. It was spring, but it was summer I wanted, the warm days and the great outdoors. Then it was summer, but it was fall I wanted, and the colorful leaves and the cool, dry air. And then it was fall, but it was winter I wanted, the beautiful snow and the joy of the holiday season. Then it was winter, but it was spring I wanted, the warmth and the blossoming of nature. Listen to this. I was a child, but it was adulthood I wanted, the freedom and the respect. Then I was 20, but it was 30 I wanted to be mature and sophisticated. Then I was middle-aged, but it was 20 I wanted, the youth and the free spirit. Then I was retired. Listen, then I was retired, but it was middle age I wanted, the presence of mind without limitations. My life was over, and you know, I never got what I wanted. I never got what I wanted. Isn't that oftentimes the case? Let me just give you some good advice, young person. Whatever age you are, just want to be that age. Just enjoy the journey. Don't be so infatuated with a destination that you forget that life is not arriving at a certain point. Life is a journey and should be enjoyed each and every step. Have a positive attitude no matter where you are in your present circumstance. Have a positive attitude. You see, I believe in an I can attitude. I roamed around the learning center as a teacher here at Blessed Hope Baptist School for a lot of years. And one of my missions in our school was to snuff out two words, and these two words were, I can't. You ask anybody that's in this room that was in the Learning Center when Brother Jerry was in there, and if there was anything that sent me off, that made me go ballistic, was some student telling me, I can't. I refuse to accept, I can't. Why? Because in the bathroom, Philippians 4:13. In the dining room, Philippians 4:13. In the kitchen, Philippians 4:13. In the living room, Philippians. You know why? Because the Bible says I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And so I listened for that. Barbie Jeffrey, I remember when we were trying to get her a driver's license, which I'm sure still not sure why we did that, but I was trying to help, me and my wife was trying to help Barbie after she graduated from high school get her driver's license, and we were having, and by the way, any trip to the Bureau of Motor Vehicles is quite an adventure anymore. I mean, I don't care what amount of paperwork you bring, there's one little piece of paper that you're supposed to have that you've got to go back and find from somewhere. It's just insane. But Barbie Jeffrey was adopted, and there was some paperwork problems, and there was problems getting an original birth certificate. And I don't know how many, I can't even tell you how many trips we made back and forth to the Bureau of Motor Vehicles just trying to get her an identification card. And then if we could get the stuff to give her an identification card, then they would take the identification card that they had just made and look at it and say, okay, you're a real person. You know, at some stage, I'm sitting there saying, lady, here she is. We didn't make her up. She's real. I mean, she exists. Whether we have papers or not, explain this. She's standing right in front of you here. I was about to go crazy. And the lady would always take our paperwork, and immediately she'd begin to examine it. And you could almost see the look on her face. You could almost see that she was going to try to find some reason why she couldn't oblige us. And so about the fourth or fifth trip, I walk in there with Barbie, and I got the paperwork, and I said, now, ma'am, I'm going to hand you this, but we're going to go from a whole different angle this time. And she's looking at me, and I said, I want you to take this paperwork, and instead of having the mindset of, I'm going to see why I can't issue this young lady a driver's license, I want all of us to get together and to approach this with the mentality of, What can we do to make this happen right now? And she looked at me as if this was a brand new thought, that she had never entertained approaching her job from that angle. So she kind of smiled and took the paperwork and looked through it. And I'm looking there going like this, and Barbie's going like this, and finally she started going like this and stamped a few things, and next thing you know, we walked out of there with a driver's license. You know, folks, I'm afraid that so many times in life we're defeated because we're coming at it from the wrong angle. We've already decided we can't before we start. And I just think if you want to live that way, you're not going to be very happy and you're not going to accomplish a whole lot. You have to approach life with an I can attitude. I'm going to give you this. This is tremendous. Matter of fact, this little poem, and I don't know if I've ever done this, but I typed this little poem out and I'm going to lay them at the back. And I'm going to allow you to take a copy of this. I wish there's sometimes you read words that you just think, you know, I don't want to just read this from the pulpit one time. This needs to be posted in people's homes. This needs to be posted in your child's bedroom. Fanny Crosby. Think about Fanny Crosby. Of all the songs that we sing in our hymnal, I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure that I enjoy any as much of those written by Fanny Crosby. She lived to be 95 years of age, and she filled the world with music, which even now endures. But of the thousands of poems she wrote that were put to music and placed in our hymnals, perhaps the most important poem she ever wrote, she wrote at age 8. At age 8. Now let me read this poem from this 8-year-old blind girl. Here's what she wrote. Oh, what a happy soul I am. Although I cannot see, I am resolved that in this world contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't. Now, if you get that, you can figure out why she accomplished everything else in her life that she accomplished. Here's a gal that had every opportunity, if she wanted to spend her entire life celebrating a 95-year pity party. But you know what she said? She said, you know what? I'm just not going to live that way. I'm just not going to live that way. And so she developed a positive attitude in her present circumstance. And she said, you know what? God allowed this to happen. This is where I am, and I'm going to make the best of it, and I'm going to have a happy spirit. And say, Brother Jerry, I'm just not happy. Brother Jerry, I just kind of got a negative attitude. Don't be mad at me, but you do because you choose it. Now, don't you point at circumstances, because no matter what circumstances you show me, I can find you another human being that's walking this planet that has the same circumstance, and they've got a positive attitude. So don't you point at circumstance. You see, the honest truth is, folks, if you want to succeed in your service of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you want to succeed in your Christian life, it does require a positive attitude. Number two, success requires not only a positive attitude, but success requires planned action. I can do. I can do. I can do. Let me give you this thought. Slothfulness, we talked about some of this in Sunday school class, but slothfulness and success are arch enemies. Slothfulness and success are arch enemies. You see, folks, listen, you're not going to be successful if you do not develop a I can do. Notice that word do is an action word. It's an action word. And so if you want to succeed in life, if you want to accomplish some things in life, you know what? You have to get up and do something about it. You have to get up and do some things. I read these verses in Sunday school, but let me read them again. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou rise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and I want as an armed man. Now listen to me, an ant a lot of times has more character. An insect has more character than us human beings if we're not careful. God even instructs us as people, go examine the ant. I built them a certain way. I programmed them a certain way. And you know what? They don't need a boss. They don't need a foreman. They don't need an alarm clock. But they get up and they get busy and they do what they need to do. And that is given to us. That insect was put on this earth to teach slothful people how to be diligent, and so that they can learn from that example. Now, listen, success requires a planned action. If you're going to succeed, then you've got to do something. Slothfulness undermines success. Slothfulness and success are arch enemies. Let me read you some verses from Proverbs. Proverbs 13:4. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. And a slothful person, they always want something. They're always desiring something, always wishing for something. But listen, desiring and wanting and wishing is not doing. Paul said, I can do. He didn't say, I can wish. Paul said, I can do, not I can desire. And Paul said, I can do, not I can dream. And the honest truth is, folks say, well, someone would come help me. Well, let me show you what I found out in life. I've walked out many times to our road, and I looked to the right, and I looked down to the left, and I waited a few minutes, and no one showed up. So guess what? I just did it myself. If you're waiting for somebody to show up to help you, you're probably never going to get much done in life. Just roll your sleeves up and get after it. Get after it. Just work, you see. The soul of the sluggard desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. How about Proverbs 20, verse 4? The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Well, it's too cold to work. It's too hot to work. It's too rainy to work. It's too dry to work. It's too dusty to work. You know, if you want to, you can always have an excuse, but when harvest times comes, you won't have anything, you see. Proverbs 21, verse 25, the desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. He coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not. And what the Bible says is, if you're slothful and you're not a doer and you're not a worker, you know what? You can covet all day long, but if you're righteous and you work hard, not only will God supply you enough for your needs, he'll supply you enough to be generous and to be able to even give to things that ought to be given to. Proverbs 22:13, I love this verse. The slothful man saith, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets. I love this verse. It goes to the shows you the extreme that slothful, lazy people will go to fabricate excuses not to go to work. And so he ran out of all his other excuses. So he's like, well, I can't go to work today because there's a rumor going around. There's a lion out there and I might be slain in the streets. Well, you know what? There's something else that's going to slay you, and it's going to be hunger, it's going to be want, it's going to be greed, it's going to be covetousness. And so, folks, let me just give you something. Success requires planned action. I can do, I can do, I can do. Slothfulness and success are arch enemies. There was a boy at school, not at our school, this is another story. There's a boy at school that his teacher had him at the chalkboard, and he was required to write 100 times after school because for 2 weeks he'd never ever done any homework. So she got frustrated, she got mad. I don't know if this is the right thing to do or not, but she marched him to the chalkboard and she made him write 100 times, I am an underachiever. I am an underachiever. Now again, I'm not saying this is the right thing to do, but obviously he was underachieving. And so he wrote that about 50 times and she was sitting at the desk, and finally he got mad. And he stomped his foot and turned around and said to her, I am not an underachiever. I just happen to be cursed with a teacher who is an overexpecter. And I think she just told him, turn around and write the rest of 50 times, amen. Say, hey, how many of you had a mama that was an overexpecter? How many are you glad you had a mama that was an overexpecter? How many of you had a daddy that was an overexpecter? Aren't you glad you had a daddy that was an overexpecter? By the way, you may not like that teacher that's an overexpecter, but you're going to like him or her real good later on in life when you've learned to overcome some things, you learn to develop a work habit, and you learn to do what you're supposed to do. You're going to look back and call them blessed. And we've got an entire society that says, I'm not an underachiever. It's just everybody's an overexpector. No, you know what? Slothfulness in the Bible is called slothfulness. Laziness is called laziness. And you know what? If you're going to succeed, then you have to have an I can do action word, do mentality. I like this. J.C. Penney, most of you are familiar with his successes in life. J.C. Penney said this, if I could wrap all my father's counsel into one sentence, it would be, get busy, son. Get busy, son. You see, even God commands us to be doers, not just hearers of the word, but doers also. All you young people, look up here. All of you, look up here. I want you to really listen to me. The world does not owe you a living. Now, you get that out of your head. You young men, you get that out of your head. Nobody owes you anything. You're supposed to go out and work and earn everything you get. You're supposed to go out there and by the sweat of your brow, provide for yourself, provide for your family. I'm doing you a favor by saying these things. These are biblical things. My Bible still says if a man does not work, he should not eat. And I just believe that. Listen, folks, listen. I think there's a reason. I know that this trickles down in all areas of the life, in our life, but even the church. Why don't we see as much success in the church as we used to see? Why don't we not see the prosperity in our country that we used to see? Why don't we see the productivity in the workplace we used to see? It's because we have a society that's lazy. And success requires planned action. I can. A positive attitude. I can do. Planned action. Let me give you number three. Success requires righteous discernment. Now listen very carefully to what I'm going to say. Righteous discernment. Because the verse goes on to say this. I can do what? All things. Oh, Brother Jerry, good. Is this a blank check? Is this verse teaching us that whatever we want to do, we can do it? We should do it? Let me remind you that this verse qualifies what we can do, what we should do, by reminding us that we should do it through Christ. I can do all things through Christ. You see, by adding those two words, we are taught that we should do everything we do with His participation. Now, because of that, that qualifies and quantifies what we ought to do. You see that? You can't say, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Oh, I can do all things. Therefore, I can go out and participate in this and be successful. Participate in this and be successful. Because the Bible says, I can do. It says, I can do all things through Christ. And so whatever you choose to accomplish in life, you should not participate in it if you can't do it through Christ. By the way, that's what Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 reminds us. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Colossians 3:23 follows up by saying this, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. So what this verse is saying is whatsoever you should do, you can do through Christ. Notice this. What is the all things then, Brother Jerry? I'll tell you what it's talking about here. He's saying whatever you should do, you can do through Christ. Now watch this. The all things also mean this. Whatever you should not do, you can not do through Christ. So there are some things we should do, and by the power of Jesus Christ, we can do them. There's some things we should not do, and by the power of Jesus Christ, we can not do them. We can not do them. We can be successful in that. Say, Brother Jerry, I can't help it. I told you I didn't like that word. I don't like that phrase. I can't help it. I can't. I know there's some things that I'm not supposed to be doing, but I can't help it. I've got a whole society of excuse. I can't help it, brother. And by the way, I'm not picking on you. If you're a brand new Christian, like I told you in our Sunday school hour, there's growth in grace, and we do have to grow in grace. But let me tell you something. If the Lord is dealing with your heart about something that you have, a habit that you have, or something you're involved in, and you know what? It doesn't line up with Scripture. Instead of just throwing your hands up and saying, well, I can't help it. Yes, you can help it. Through Christ, you can help it, you see. I've helped people and watched people. Listen, there's people in this room that can stand up and testify. When they got saved, they were smokers. I mean, they're not proud of it. They don't really like to revisit it. But the honest truth is, when they got saved, they were smokers. And you know what? Nicotine can have a terrible grip on a person. And I'm certainly not here to tell you and belittle somebody that struggles with that, but I am here to tell you that you can, through Christ, get the victory on that. You can get the victory on that. Brother Jerry, I've tried. Listen, have you tried through Christ? You can get the victory on that. And there's people all over this auditorium that could testify to that. And again, I'm not putting you down. I understand everybody's growing and everybody's got to progress in your Christian life. But listen to me. We have been raised in a society that just throws their hands up when something's a little hard. Oh, I just can't do it. But God says you can. And He will help you do it. Sometimes we have men, and sometimes, unfortunately, even ladies, that before they were saved, they developed the terrible habit of cursing, and they have a foul mouth. We used to call it potty mouth. And they even do something as horrible and terrible as taking the Lord's name in vain. And by the way, that is a horrible, terrible thing. It's a horrible, terrible thing to be in the habit of doing. And if you're doing that, you need to overcome. Oh, Brother Jerry, I just can't help it. I told you, I don't like that. And by the way, that's a lie. Now, you say, no, it's not. Well, then you just ought to take Philippians 4:13, just cut it out of your Bible, just tear that whole page out and throw it away. Oh, Brother Jerry, well, that's right. And you know what? You ought not to throw it away. You ought to put your finger on it and claim it and make that verse your own. And say, you know what, God, you said you'd help me with this, and I can't do it by myself, but I can do it through Christ, and Lord Jesus, help me to overcome this terrible habit. And you know what? God will strengthen you. God will help you. And you can overcome what you need to overcome. I've watched people, you know, get saved. And they've lived a life of drinking. And they're alcoholics. And I've watched God deliver them from that. And what I'm saying is this. Listen, I'm not saying it'll always be easier. I'm just saying that through Christ, you can do it. You can do it. Now cancel your membership to the I Can't Club. Just cancel your membership to the I Can't Club. Get rid of that. You know, I can't help it. I'm be crazy. I just can't help it. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can. I can't help losing my temper. Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. That's what God sent me to tell you today. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You see, God will give you grace. God will give you help. God will help you to overcome that. And again, I'm not saying all this is easy, but you can overcome. Brother Jerry, I just can't help but gossip. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You absolutely can. God can give you victory over that. God can take that terrible sin out of your life. God can make that a thing of a past in your life. And God can erase that from your life. If you'll let Him, you can do it. You can do it. Yes, you can do it. Brother Jerry, I've got bitterness in my life, and I just can't get over it. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Now, that old I can't thing, you just need to throw it in the trash where it belongs. Yes, you can. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. I just can't help the way I feel. Yes, you can. Now, you're not going to get by with this preacher. You're not going to float that stuff past me. I'm sorry, but I got a Bible. And this verse has helped me to overcome so many things in my life. It's proven true. God will give the victory. If you stay with it and stay with Him and give it to God, you can get the victory over the things in your life that you need to get the victory. Now, success requires righteous discernment. I can do all things does not mean that you should do all things. What it means is that anything that you can do that's right and holy, in which you can participate with Jesus Christ in doing, let me share this with you. With His help, you can accomplish those things. Now I want to get down to what I think is the core of the verse. You see, success requires a positive attitude and a planned action and righteous discernment. But success requires, boy, get this, a Christ reliance. A Christ reliance. Now listen to me. Listen to me very carefully. Let me just share something with you. Without Him, you can't. And I know I hate that word, but without Him, you're right. You can't. With Him, you can.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You can't. Can I give you this? It was a wonderful, wonderful day in my life when I realized that if I just get out of the way and let Christ work through me and help me, it's amazing the things that I had no trouble overcoming that doing it on my own, in my own energy, I just could not accomplish. And sometimes, folks, we just get in God's way. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I suppose if there's a verse that I quote while I'm praying, more than any other verse, when I'm praying, I quote this verse. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh in vain. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And I'll quote that out loud to the Lord, and I'll say, Lord, You know what? No matter how hard we work or what we try to build, unless you build it, we labor in vain. Can I say this? I don't want to labor in vain. Labor's hard work. I don't want to put out a ton of work and have it amount to nothing. But if I try to do it without the Lord, and if I don't let Him actually be the one that does the building, then you know what? I'm just going to frustrate myself, and I'm not going to accomplish what He wants me to accomplish. I'm talking about developing a Christ reliance. Now listen to me. Prayer tells Christ that you are reliant upon Him. What is it that you need to accomplish? Think with me. What is it that you need to accomplish? Pray. Tell Christ you cannot do it on your own. Tell Christ you need His strength. Do not attempt anything without seeking the help and the intercession of the one who sits on the right hand of the Father. Now, folks, listen, if we just get this, boy, it could help us. I can either go through life, and whatever tasks are before me, I can say, all right, Jerry, give me your little pep talk here, and let's get all excited, let's get pumped up, and let's go do this, and I can take off and try to do it in my own strength and my own ability. Or what I can do, if I'm wise, is to look at that task that looms before me and bend my knee to a holy God and say, God, I cannot and will not do this the right way unless You strengthen me, unless You give me wisdom, unless You give me help. I am totally reliant upon You and Your strength as I go to do this task. Then get up, roll up your sleeves, and go after it. And I dare you to test that and tell me what the difference is in a week and how your life goes. Now, God, I think, loves to see His children just bow a knee before Him and say, I can't, but You can.
Amen. Yes, sir.
But You can, God. I can't carry this burden on my own, but You can help me carry it. I can't accomplish this task on my own, but You can help me accomplish it. I don't have the answer to this problem on my own, but You have the answer to it, and You can give it to me. And if we lived our life with a Christ reliance, I mean, folks, I'm talking about dozens of times a day crying out from our heart, God, You've got to help me. God, You've got to give me wisdom. God, You've got to give me strength. God, I can't live this life without You. You've got to help me. A Christian that lives that way accomplishes things that they can't even imagine, and God allows them to see victories that they've never been able to experience, and I mean reach mountain peaks and mountain tops that they could only stand in a valley and look at and dream about. I think when God finds a Christian that's Christ-reliant, He pours and funnels all the power of Jesus Christ through that person, and they can do some of the most unbelievable things. And they walk this life with a quiet Christ confidence. You know what? Because His help is only a prayer away. I got backup. Brother Jerry, how are we going to do this? We're going to do it through Christ. Brother Jerry, how are we going to accomplish this? We're going to accomplish it through Christ. Brother Jerry, how are we going to overcome this? We're going to overcome it through Christ. Brother Jerry, where are we going to get the wisdom to deal with this? We're going to get it through Christ, because I don't know any other source to go. I've tried Jerry Ross. He don't do so good. Tired of doing it on your own yet? I've tried Jerry Ross. He don't work very well. But Jerry Ross partnered with Jesus Christ. Look out. Look out. I'm telling you, look out. Success requires a Christ alliance, a reliance, a Christ reliance. Now look at the last part of the verse. I can do all things through Christ. I want you to pay attention to the next word, and I don't want to disillusion you. But the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Can I say this? God knows His pronouns. Now, some of you kids don't even know what a pronoun is. You're looking at me like, what? God knows His pronouns. I want you to think about this, because I think sometimes we overlook a great thought. And we're not doing the Scripture any damage here. Say, Brother Jerry, is Jesus Christ the one that gives us the strength? I hope I've conveyed that. I hope you know that I believe that. But can I give you something here? The Bible says this, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And the which there is referring to the success accomplished through Christ. I can do all things through Christ, and when I do something through Christ, that strengthens me. Can I give you this? Success begets success. You know, when you rely totally on Christ and you find out you can through Him, when the next task arises, you know what? That memory of Christ coming alongside of you and helping you gain the victory strengthens you for the next task ahead. Now, how many things have I looked back in my life as I've gone through this growth of grace and said, you know what? I remember when I faced that enemy and I thought, you know what? How will I ever overcome this thing in my life? But then I relied on Christ and He came beside me and He helped me and I was able to win the victory. And then something else came up and I relied on Christ and He helped me win the victory. And you know what? If you get a pattern of that going in your life, then when something jumps up at you or some big unsurmountable mountain appears on the horizon, I don't mean this wrong, folks, but you've proven God. Now, folks, listen to me. Many of you can sit there and say, Brother Jerry, what you're saying is true. Many, many times in my life, I have had Christ come alongside me and help me to deal with things and help me win victories that I never thought I would win. I mean, I'll be honest with you, Brother Jerry, I'm not being proud here, but I look at the mirror sometimes and think, girl or guy, you've come a long way, and it's because of Jesus. Now, wait a minute. How in the world can you sit there and tell me you've got that history, but you're letting that next mountaintop stop you? It does not have to stop you. The same God that helped you in the past will come up and help you right now, and He will help you to achieve and overcome whatever you may be facing in life. Sometimes I'll tell I believe this. I think success begets success. Sometimes I'll tell one of our teachers, I'll say, listen, we need to help that student because they need, think about this, they need to taste success. You know, until you've tasted success, it's hard sometimes to realize that you can succeed. And so sometimes a teacher will come alongside of a student and help them to succeed just so they can experience the success. And you know what? Success begets success. It helps them and gives them strength. The experience of that gives them strength. Well, wait a minute. I've got a pretty good teacher too. And how many times has He come alongside of me and He's helped me to succeed? And you know what? That makes the next obstacle not seem so bad. Listen, it may be daunting, but I've got a whole life's memory of Christ helping me overcome, so why should I fear tomorrow? Why should I fear tomorrow? See, I believe, and I've heard people say this, and I think it's true, nothing teaches you how to succeed like failing. Nothing teaches you how to succeed like failing, but can I add this? Nothing motivates you to succeed like success. And you know, it's not like all you want to do in your life is fail. If all you do is fail, you're going to get discouraged. God comes alongside you and says this, let me help you succeed. Now look right up here. Paul faced some obstacles in his life. This is a man that he's just not doing the talking, he's done the walking. And he has many, many times got himself in situations that were well beyond what he could ever accomplish or do. And he relied on Christ, and Christ came alongside. And the book of Acts is literally filled with the heroics of the Apostle Paul. Now let me say this. God's not a respecter of person. And if Jesus Christ was willing to come along the Apostle Paul and help him, He's willing to come alongside of you and help you. What are you facing today? What are you facing today? Brother Jerry, I don't know if I can. Yes, you can. Brother Jerry, this is bigger than I know, but Christ is bigger. Brother Jerry, I've tried and I just keep falling. Rely on Him. Rely on Him. Boy, I want to reach into the heart of a young lady or a young man today that's discouraged and tell you, you know what, I don't know what you're facing, but God can come alongside you and give you the victory. And He wants to, and I want you to taste that early in life so that when you get older, you can look back and say, I've trusted Him along, and I've relied on Him, and He's never failed me. And no matter what I have to face tomorrow, I won't face it alone. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that You'll encourage where encouragement is needed, lift up where perhaps somebody has stumbled and fallen. And Lord, come alongside. There was maybe a man in this auditorium, maybe a young man, maybe an older man who used to dream big dreams, but they've stopped dreaming. Lord, I pray, dear God, that You'd give them their dream back. Maybe there's a lady that used to think about the things that maybe one day she could accomplish and do. But the devil's got her discouraged and got her down. And Lord, I pray that you'd come alongside her and whisper in her ear that you still want to use her. Maybe there's a teenager and they've tried so hard, but it seems like they've failed and failed. I pray, Lord, they won't give up. I pray as they go home and slip into their room this afternoon and kneel down on their bed and say, Jesus, I've tried and tried and I can't live this Christian life, but I guess it's because I've been trying to do it by myself. Please, please help me. Please come alongside me. Is the preacher telling me true? Is this verse really, really the truth? I pray, Lord, that you'd show them that it is. Lord, whatever the circumstances, whatever's being faced, I pray, Lord, that you would help my dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Help each of us, Lord, as we struggle along life's pathway. Give us that renewed vigor, that confidence, that quiet confidence in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.